March 2020, 18-year-old French student Eloy Roland disappears from the area of Piha in Auckland, New Zealand. He hasn't been seen since. Eloy is 170 centimetres tall, of thin build, and was last seen wearing a blue and white jacket, jeans and dark sneakers. If you have information on the disappearance of Eloy, please contact Crime Stoppers New Zealand. Sources for this episode include New Zealand Herald, the Missing Eloy Roland Facebook, and Stuff New Zealand. Welcome back to episode 16 of Unknown Passage, a podcast that tells the stories of those who have gone missing or been murdered abroad. So this episode will be slightly shorter than other episodes as there's less to go on about the disappearance of Eloy Roland. I do just want to say from the outset that it is pronounced, I believe, in France, Eloy, but it is a biblical name, and in parts of the world, we butcher the French language and pronounce it Eloy. So I'm just going to say it like that, just in case I don't have it right in the French form. So this is actually the first Patreon request. I offered up my two patrons so far, Brittany and Dan, options of a upcoming case, and they could choose the location. Now, Dan answered first, so he got the first one, and it was almost like it was meant to be. He actually requested New Zealand, and then he said if I didn't have one for New Zealand, to do France. And that blew me away because I had one planned that was kind of very recent and pressing, and it is a French national gone missing in New Zealand, which is kind of crazy. Maybe, Dan, you're a little bit psychic, who knows? But this is a case that doesn't have a lot of information out there, really, since Eloy went missing, despite his age and the fact that he's kind of more likely to be endangered than other cases. So let's get into Eloy's story. So a little bit about Eloy Roland. So Eloy was from the town or city, I suppose, of Montpellier, France, and he spoke limited English. Obviously, French is his first language, and his goal was to travel to New Zealand as an exchange student to study English for just kind of short of a year, maybe 6 or 7 months. So in September last year, 2019, Eloy travelled to Auckland, New Zealand from France, and his parents were a little bit worried, obviously. He is only 18 years old. They were worried because he's so young, he's literally going to the other side of the world, but at the same time, they were happy to let him chase his dreams. His parents sent him money while he was away and kept close tabs on him, and he was always in regular contact with family and friends, 3 or 4 times a week back home. His family described him to the New Zealand Herald as, quote, calm, kind and curious, unquote. They said that he was often naive and quite, quote unquote, dreamy. He loved travelling, and back in France and Europe, he loved sailing. He was a really good kid. He never really gets into trouble or anything, and he's never run away from home. He looks like a nice kid. I say kid because when I was 18, I thought I knew everything and thought I was a grown-up. But now at my age, I just look at 18-year-olds as kids, and I'm sure you do too. So Eloy was staying with a host family in the area of Birkenhead, which is on Auckland's North Shore. So if you're not familiar with New Zealand, it is split into two parts, the South Island and the North Island. Auckland is on the kind of top northwest point of the New Zealand mainland, and the area that he was staying was the North Shore of Auckland. He worked part-time while he was in New Zealand. From the time he arrived in September last year, he worked in a restaurant and then at a hotel, obviously just for American listeners, New Zealand is the same as Australia and most of the world. At 18, you're a legal adult. You're able to get a license, drink alcohol in registered establishments and, you know, obviously serve alcohol as well. Eloy has a sister called, I believe it's Aurora or Aurore, and she told the New Zealand Herald that during his time in New Zealand, he went to a few organised events for exchange students and he was, quote, in search of love, unquote, which is kind of cute because we all need, you know, something to make us feel a little warm and fuzzy from time to time. Eloy really enjoyed hiking and he really got into it when he arrived in New Zealand because obviously New Zealand has an incredible landscape for getting outdoors. It's both islands have adventure sports in spades and amazing locations. As an Australian, I'm ashamed to say I've never gone to New Zealand. When I've travelled, I've always gone slightly further afield. But since COVID and they're introducing kind of a travel bubble between Australia and New Zealand, I think this will promote tourism in New Zealand for Australians and I might have to go there. My dad went last year and he said he was considering moving there. He said the people were amazing, the locations were amazing, and the people in New Zealand are actually statistically some of the kindest and most helpful people in the world, according to a lot of studies that have been done. And I have Kiwi friends and I can back that up. So according to Eloy's family, he'd always wanted to work in kind of the psychology field. But during his time in New Zealand, he kind of did a 180 and he got really interested in environmental issues, which I think, being in a country that's so focused on the outdoors and the environment like New Zealand, that's only natural. According to Eloy's sister, Aurora, he wanted to return home to France and he was very homesick. Despite everything I've just told you, he was really struggling during his time in New Zealand. He's incredibly young to be on the other side of the world and this is totally understandable. It got so bad that he actually spoke to his family about returning earlier than his scheduled flight. His scheduled flight was for May 21st, 2020, and it goes without saying, I'm recording this on June 3rd, so that time has come and gone and no one has seen Eloy. So Eloy really just told his family that he was lonely and he missed his friends. And I think this is probably the case. It's such a huge shift to go to the other side of the world at 18. You're just a baby. And I totally understand it because I went through the same thing as Eloy in my early to mid-20s when I moved to the UK. And I'm not particularly I don't have a particularly close family. So coming from a really close-knit family and a small community back in France, I think he would have handled it doubly so. So his sister told the New Zealand Herald that, quote, he had suffered several sentimental disappointments but seemed, quote-unquote, resilient when they last spoke. She used the word to describe Eloy. She used the word disturbed to describe him in his last months in New Zealand. But I actually personally just think this is a kind of language miscommunication. It may sound like a really intense word to use in the English language, but she's probably using it. She's probably just translating her best from French to English. And it could just mean, that he was kind of a bit kind of, you know, in a bit of turmoil mentally. So really, Eloy just wanted to get his studies over and return to France as soon as possible. And as I said, when I was 23, I moved to the UK for my two-year working visa. I couldn't have done it at 18 and I was a really mature teenager and young adult. 23 was still really young to do it. And I look back and I kind of understand why a lot of it was really up and down when I was over there. It's such a long distance and certain times when you're away, even if it's for, you know, just a 1 or 2 years or even less in Eloy's case, things really, little things can get really magnified. And there's certain times when you're over there that it just hits you how far away from home you are, if something happens, how far away from your friends you are. from your family, and you feel very alone, and you also at the same time don't want to throw it in and come home. And I almost did that actually 6 months after I moved over there. The only thing that stopped me from doing it was the expectation from people that I would stay over there, and that I had given up my apartment in Melbourne and my job, my full-time job, to do it. So it was kind of a pride thing that kept me over there. But I am glad that I stayed. So the information that I'm giving you is mostly from the New Zealand Herald, which has, it's a major New Zealand publication, and it's been a primary source of information for this. I do just want to say, in a number of their articles, they flip between using the 6th and the 7th of March to describe the dates that Eloy disappeared. It is the 7th of March, according to the majority, and not just the New Zealand Herald, but it's just another instance of a major news publication getting what is a basic fact about this case wrong. And it's kind of on them, especially when they have the responsibility to report on a kid that's gone missing. You should be getting the dates right. But that's the issue with laying off sub-editors, which, you know. So on March 7th, Eloy is seen on CCTV. He's catching a train at 6:30 a.m., so really early, at Brightermart Station, which is in Auckland CBD. Now, the New Zealand Herald spoke to his sister, Aurora, and she said she wasn't sure at the time where he had stayed the night before, because the Auckland CBD, so Central Business District, is really quite far from his host family's house on the North Shore of Auckland, and it was really early in the morning to be kind of seen on CCTV in this area. However, stuff.co.nz states that he actually caught a bus to Brightermart Station from home that morning before heading on his journey, so he would have got going pretty early in the morning. At 7:26 a.m, there's surveillance footage of him exiting Fruitvale Station, which is in the area of New Lynn. I believe this is West Auckland. So he has caught a train from Brightermount Station in Auckland CBD at 6:30, and at 7:26 he exits Fruitvale Station in New Lynn. During the investigation, the subsequent investigation, his phone was later pinged. And this ping last placed Eloy on the area of Piha Road at 9:18 a.m. So just short of 2 hours after he exited Fruitvale Station. From Fruitvale Station to the area where his phone last pinged, it's about a 10-kilometre walk. And based on the time that it had elapsed, they believe that Eloy walked this, I think, I don't want to hazard a guess what this is in miles. Sorry, Americans. Maybe 7 miles. So maybe 6 or 7. So after this phone ping, his phone was no longer transmitting a signal. So it was either destroyed or turned off or went dead. When Eloy did not return home that night, his host family immediately contacted the police. They got onto it immediately. And it goes without saying that Eloy hasn't been seen since. On the same day that he went missing, he made the last update to his Facebook page. And this was an image of a black square. Now, I don't know if anyone who's listening knows, because there's been so many social media movements lately in relation to this. Obviously, before the current movement with people doing the black square for George Floyd. But there was this around the start of this year. And I think this was kind of just a, it's related to, well, there was one for the environment where people were doing that as a movement. I'm not reading too much into the fact that he updated his Facebook with this. Because there's a lot of kind of things that go viral where people do this. But if you're listening and you know exactly what that would have been at the beginning of March, please let me know on the Instagram. So due to the COVID pandemic, where essentially air travel has been shut off and New Zealand was one of the first countries to close its borders, Eloy's family has been physically unable to travel to New Zealand to search for him, which is totally devastating when you think about it. They would have been on the next flight out from France, and months on, they still cannot get into New Zealand, which is it's just terrible timing. It's terrible. The COVID pandemic, I think, was kind of just happening in Wuhan at this time. So there was no lockdown and there was no, depending on who you listen to, there was no idea that this was going to go worldwide the way it did. So no one could have predicted how much this pandemic would get in the way of his family being able to go to New Zealand to search for him. So the search for Eloy has been extensive, even despite the New Zealand lockdown. They've done an incredible job, and the family has really just had to, from France, put their faith in the New Zealand search and rescue police and locals who are searching for Eloy since March. There's been extensive searches of all of the surrounding areas of Piha, and there's been no evidence of Eloy that has been found. Just an aside, Piha is a seaside village which is in West Auckland. I actually ended up going on a rabbit hole and watching these incredible drone videos of the Piha area. It's really popular for surfers. They've got the Piha Pro there. It's just one of the most unique, beautiful landscapes in the world. And it's one of New Zealand, the North Island's most popular beach areas. It has black sands, volcanic black sands, which are kind of reminiscent of the Greek islands. And it's known for its strong surf and rugged scenery. According to Wikipedia, Lion Rock, which is in the Piha Beach area, is a volcanic monolith with war memorials and Maori carvings. And basically, Piha is backed by, I think it's the Waitakere, I'm sorry, I cannot pronounce New Zealand words, I'm so sorry, Waitakere Rangers Regional Park, which is kind of like a native rainforest, and it has lots of trails and waterfalls, and it's just incredibly beautiful. But it goes without saying that if you look up pictures of this, it is such a rugged area. The surf is insane, and it really butts up to the beach and the cliff face of Piha really aggressively. And when I saw that, it really kind of concerned me. So Eloy had actually been to Piha before, and he absolutely loved it. He said it was one of his favorite places in New Zealand so far. He wanted his family at some point to come out to visit him because he said this particular area, Piha and Piha Beach, was so beautiful. He wanted them to see it. He had spoken to his family about before going back in 2 months' time to France. He wanted to do another day trip to Piha to collect some of the black sand to take back to his family in France as a keepsake. And they believe that this is what Eloy was doing this day. It is kind of a day trip when you consider that he must have left home at like 5:36 in the morning, and his phone, he's just getting to Piha and it's like 9:30 in the morning. So Piha, the beach of Piha, I looked it up. It's actually voted one of New Zealand's most dangerous beaches, and it's got a really crazy tide, lots of rips, really intense currents. Even kind of the most prolific professional surfers are a bit daunted by it. I really doubt Eloy was swimming, but I did look up the temperature, and in March in New Zealand, it's just coming out of summer. It's still pretty warm, and the top that day was about 23 Celsius. So I think about 73 degrees Fahrenheit. So during these searches, a t-shirt was found in the area of Kerikeri, which is about 7 kilometres south of the Piha area. This kind of threw off searches, unfortunately, for a while, and then it turned out that it was just a local resident who'd taken it off. He came forward. It was proven to be his. He'd taken it off during a bushwalk. And I don't know how you forget your shirt, but clearly he had. And this kind of diverted information for a while. Police and search and rescue were still searching into mid-May for Eloy. And this was really when the last press coverage of this case was, unfortunately. And now we're in early June. They were issuing warnings to members of the public who were out searching for Eloy to either not search if they're not kind of professional hikers in this area due to the terrain. They were really concerned that someone would get injured and then all of the searches, their attention would have to be diverted to helping this person and it would use up emergency services. I'm not really sure how it works with the COVID pandemic and lockdown, people going out and searching, but people were still searching. So the most recent update in early May advised that the team were then by that point searching the Wadikeri Ranges, which is the rainforest, really dense scrubland ranges that surround the Piha area, and it's just a huge area to search. Up until May 7th, 1,600 hours of searches had been conducted and there was absolutely no trace of Eloy. And I don't know if they brought tracker dogs in. No articles, and I've read every single one associated with this case, and every post on the Find Eloy Roland Facebook page, and they do not mention sniffer dogs at all. But I actually think that they actually may have used them early on and it just came up with nothing. Many walking tracks are closed still in this area in relation to the COVID pandemic and continue to be. So it was quite difficult and continues to be to search. The police advised that they were quote unquote keeping an open mind about what happened to Eloy, but they do acknowledge that with each month that is passing, it is not looking good. And I agree, it has now been, in a few days, it will be 3 months or 12 weeks since Eloy went missing. As I said earlier, the family of Eloy is putting their full faith in the New Zealand people and the police from the other side of the world, and they've been really blown away by how much the New Zealand authorities and locals have put into this for a boy that they really didn't know, and it's just such a painful and terrifying concept. Just a shout out to Auckland resident Scylla Isara. So she's essentially a mother who heard about Eloy's case, and from the very beginning, she took on the role of kind of being a surrogate mother in Eloy's absence on the ground in New Zealand. She set up the Facebook page for his disappearance. She and connections that she have in the bushwalking community who have experience have been coordinating search parties, and other locals are joining in. She really has gone above and beyond, and she said she couldn't just sit there because this boy, his family was back in France, obviously. So kudos to Scylla. So just to wrap up this case, because that's really all the information we have, the last press coverage of this case is around 3 weeks from when I am recording this episode. They've really dropped off on it. And I really wish that they would do more of a push. Other than his family and Scylla and her connections on the Find Eloy Roland Facebook, which has quite a large following, I'm currently the only one that's discussing this in any kind of journalistic way. This is one case I don't want to speculate too much about what's happening, mainly because if Eloy is out there, I don't want to be running commentary on his mental state. At 18, we all had issues, and between the terrain of this area and how he was feeling, I'm really torn on what I think could be happening. He hasn't accessed his bank account, you know, his passport was still at home and everything, and it's not looking good. New Zealand's an expensive place and you need money to keep going, and I'm really concerned for Eloy. 18's a really precarious age for boys and girls. You are still a child, even though you really don't feel like you are, but when you get to my age or older, you look back and you realize you really were. I just commend Eloy for going to the other side of the world like he did at 18, especially to work on his language skills. I totally understand homesickness. It's one of the worst feelings in the world, although I really feel like if Eloy had just told his family he wanted to go home, they would have organized it. But we all have this sense of pride inbuilt in us, no matter what age we are, where we don't want to be seen to be packing it in on an idea that we've been so into, you know, when you drop an interest or something and you kind of have this shame associated with it. that you didn't stick it out. I hope that Eloy is alive and well, but obviously with no phone or bank activity since March, it does not look good. And I really think it's in the best possible hands with the New Zealand police and search and rescue and the locals. They are so in tune with this area and they know it. It's just concerning that they've just found no trace of him. Whether he had an accident there in the area or went there to hurt himself, I don't know. But I think he was dealing with a lot, and I just feel so much for his family in France. I'm sure that the pandemic already hit them regardless of Eloy's disappearance. But with this, it's just such a pressure cooker, and I just feel for them. If you have any information on the disappearance of Eloy Roland in Piha, New Zealand, please contact the Waitemata Police on 09488 9764. You can contact Crime Stoppers New Zealand anonymously on 0800 555 111, or you can phone 105. It actually says that. I believe it's like a police number in New Zealand, and you can quote Eloy's file number, which is 200 310/8987. Please follow the Find Eloy Roland Facebook page to stay up to date with the search for this young man, and kind of show your support for the family. I will post photos coming up on the Instagram of Eloy just to keep his face out there. I'm going to contact the New Zealand Herald to ask them to please do more follow-up with this. There are constant updates on their Facebook, and I feel like they have a responsibility to not just kind of drop off on these stories, because there's more timely things. I understand things are going on in the world that are completely unprecedented. What the hell's with 2020? But at the same time, I think that journalists and myself as a journalism graduate, they have a responsibility to follow up on cases that they've covered. I hate researching somebody and just seeing when I go to Google News or just looking at it, when I look at them chronologically, I just hate seeing it just suddenly drop off, you know, information, because it's not a hot button topic anymore. And this young man needs all the kind of support from afar that he can. So if you're out there, Eloy, I hope that you're okay. So please follow Unknown Passage on Instagram at Unknown Passage Pod. Please leave a 5-star review if you enjoy this and listen to it. It helps the ratings, and I actually just hit the ratings for true crime, both in my country and Sweden and Norway, weirdly, on Apple Podcasts. And reviews actually dictate whether or not you stay in the charts or not and where you rank. I'm not doing it for me, because I'm a pretty private person. I'm doing it for the fact that I want to have more people follow these people's stories who haven't got the press attention that they deserve, primarily because they have disappeared somewhere overseas. If you have a case suggestion, you can email it through, or any feedback to unknownpassagepodcast@gmail.com. It may be a while when I get to any suggestions, because I have a long list. So the next episode I will be recording in the next couple of days. I have been looking into it for a few weeks now. And initially what I thought it was a kind of the basic, it would just be like a basic length one. But as I've dug deeper, it's kind of a really shitty Kinder surprise that just keeps on giving. It takes us to Mexico, which will come up time and time again on this podcast. It's one of the most dangerous countries in the world for tourists. And I think it's also one of the most popular countries for tourists to visit. So I think it's going to be an educational episode on, if you're traveling to South America or Mexico in particular, just some things that you should know, because I think a lot of people are ignorant to what's going on there constantly. So yeah, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you very soon. Okay, bye.